You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Time now for Food Friday. Today we're taking a look at a classic Vietnamese sandwich that's going through a bit of a renaissance here in the United States.
About a century ago, street vendors in Vietnam had the idea to combine the flavors of Vietnamese cold cuts and tasty toppings with the crispness of the French baguette. The result was banh mi, and our next guest is here to tell us how we can make this classic street food in the comfort of our own kitchens.
Joining us now is Andrea Nguyen. She is a food writer and teacher. Her new book is called The Banh Mi Handbook, Recipes for Crazy Delicious Vietnamese Sandwiches. Andrea, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so very much for having me.
All right, we gave a brief taste in the setup there, but for someone who's never tried it, how would you describe banh mi?
Banh mi is sort of like your hoagie, your grinder, your Latino, your Mexican torta. It's a sandwich that has a really light bread on the outside, and the inside is a party in your mouth. And so you've got a little bit of meat, and then you've got pickles, and you've got cucumber and cilantro, chili slices, and it's all moistened with a little mayonnaise, and then you've got like this little salty, savory hit from this stuff called Maggi seasoning. And it's one of the things that the French, I think, brought to Vietnam along with the baguette. And Vietnamese people just kind of like took it in all different kinds of directions. And I loved how you said that it's undergoing a renaissance in the United States right now.
Well, and you grew up with it, right? Your family loved eating banh mi's. You sought them out and you started making them before too long. Can you tell us about some of your own personal history with the banh mi?
Yeah, I grew up making banh mi as a kid, and I just, we'd be up in the morning, and my mom would just set out some bread, and it could be like sliced white bread. It didn't have to be like a baguette, to tell you the truth, because the word banh mi in Vietnamese means bread. But banh mi over time has become known as like the ubiquitous sandwich that I just described. So we'd, get up in the morning, she'd have the bread out, and then she would have like some pate or charcuterie or cold cuts that she had made herself, and then some butter. And she'd just say, well, toast the bread yourself and make your own little sandwiches. And then I also made them to take to lunch with me from things like liverwurst that I was like trying to doctor up as sort of my own version of Vietnamese pate. And so that was sort of a strange thing to bring to lunch. But, I really liked to eat. I was a chubby kid. And we started also going to Little Saigon. I grew up in Southern California, where there was a very strong Vietnamese population and the granddaddies of Little Saigons. And we'd go and we'd buy them, and they were like two for, one, or three for two, and there were these really great deals. But they weren't really great sandwiches. So my family started making our own, and making the sandwiches from homemade pickles and mayonnaise, as well as all the charcuterie that my mom had already been making for a long time. So I kind of got sandwich obsessed from a young age, and it's just continued ever since.
Well, you mentioned just old, plain old white bread, but you went on a quest to find the secret of making your own great banh mi bread. One of the rumors was it was rice flour. Was it?
It has nothing to do with rice flour, really, because it's like this strange, not even an urban myth. It's like an ethnic food myth. And people were just saying, you got to have rice flour in there because that's what makes it special. And in Vietnam, I think that some bakers were using a little bit of rice flour to make the dough bake into a very crispy loaf. It's humid and tropical in Vietnam. And somehow, the bakers were able to figure out a way to make their lofty baguettes have like this really beautiful, shatteringly thin crust. And, it was rumored that rice flour was key. And so there were these recipes that had like a lot of rice flour. And I tried them and I just got like these dense little baseball bats. And it just was not happening. Because, nowadays with all of the gluten-free thing, we know that rice is one of these things that does not have gluten. And we need gluten for bread to rise. We need something to structurally hold all of the elements together and, for it to puff up in the oven. And so I just kept asking and asking and asking, and professional bakers weren't really willing to help me until I found like one person and two people to help me, and then I baked daily for like 3 months.
Wow.
To get a recipe that even my parents say, honey, this really tastes like the bread that we remembered when we were growing up in Vietnam.
Oh, that's a high compliment. It's what you wanted to go for. So if you've got
if you knew my parents, if you knew my parents, that is a quite a
tough critics, huh?
Yeah.
So if you want to, you know, you've got this perfect bread, you've made that. What is the classic banh mi sandwich if we really just wanted to get a taste of what epitomizes a good banh mi?
Yes. So a lot of people, you know, the go-to banh mi is this thing called the dak biet. It's a special combination that's really a Saigon style banh mi sandwich. So what that has is this really light roll. And you can use like a roll, you know, just like a supermarket French, and I put that in square air quotes, baguette, or, you know, some other kind of light roll, even like a Portuguese or a Cubano roll would work, or a bolillo roll. And then you want to line it with a decent amount of mayonnaise, you know, and whole egg mayonnaise. Spread it all the way to the edge to moisten things. And then do sort of like a Jackson Pollock or Rorschach kind of treatment on the mayonnaise with this Maggi seasoning stuff. And that's sold at like supermarkets. You just have to hunt for them, as well as a lot of Latin markets and Asian markets. And so you just want to drizzle that on. And then from the bottom up, you've got a smearing of pate. And then maybe you've got little thin slices of head cheese. And then there's this sausage, just like a Vietnamese mortadella. And then maybe sometimes there's like this garlicky pork that's put in there, and it has like this sort of pinkish rind. None of this is mystery meat. It's all like made from like regular ingredients. It's just the way I'm describing it. It sounds weird. And the visual ratio of these meats to the vegetables, and I'm with regard to the vegetables, I mean, there's like this pickled daikon and carrot, and it's sort of like tangy. So it's sweet and sour, not sour sweet. And then you've got chilies, fresh chili slices, cucumber, and then cilantro. So the visual ratio of the meat to the vegetables is like 1-to-1 or 1-to-2. So it's not a deli style, you know, sandwich like we know. So once that you, you know, put all of this together, just close up the sandwich, cut it in half, if you want to share, I guess, and start eating. And it's like a party or a carnival in your mouth because
wow.
You get all these different textures. And that's why that bread, you know, people are like, what do you do about the bread? And I'm like, do not sweat it. But what you, you know, you go out there, look for bread or bake your own. But what you don't want is bread that is really fancy, that has a really, you know, hard crust, that's super artisanal.
Gotcha.
Because that will... Yeah, that's going to scrape your mouth and hurt you.
I want to get to a recipe from your book that we've got on the Central Time Facebook page. It's the filling is shrimp in caramel sauce. What can you tell us about that?
That is something, you know, so the book, I just described it like this classic combination. And then for the book, I wanted to include, you know, riffs on banh mi. So, you know, if you know the foundations of how to make that sandwich, you can vary the filling, and you just have to keep like some fundamental aspects about the filling. And that's a great example, and I'm glad you brought it up. That shrimp and caramel sauce is a classic Vietnamese dish that you would make to eat with rice. And it has like this, the caramel sauce is not the caramel that you would put on ice cream, but it's like this bitter, sweet, nearly burnt sugar that we cook down, and then we simmer food in it. So it has like this savory, sweet quality. And so I made that up for dinner one day, and I had some leftovers, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, it's not too wet, and it's got a lot of great, you know, intense flavor. I don't need to eat a lot of it. A lot of that shrimp with my rice. And so, you know, there's like this like low protein, high flavor aspect. And then I thought, what if I put that in a sandwich? Mm. And the thing is that if you've got that pickle that I describe, the daikon and carrot pickle in your fridge, along with, you know, cucumber and cilantro and stuff like that. But, you know, it's, you can like make a sandwich. So because all you need is the protein, the filling. And I have this filling, and then I put it into my sandwich, and it came together marvelously well.
Andrea, sounds great. We're all hungry now, and we've got that recipe on the Central Time Facebook page. Andrea, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so very much.
Andrea Nguyen is the author of The Banh Mi Handbook, Recipes for Crazy Delicious Vietnamese Sandwiches. And we were looking through that cookbook earlier, Veronica. And
yeah, there's a banh mi in my future.
Yeah, me
hopefully
too.
This weekend for sure.
Yeah, there's like some pork, garlic pork tenderloin one. I think that's what I'd try
and
first.
And there's tofu too, so yeah. A whole bunch of varieties in there. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.